Some nuns in full habit went to the baseball game. And right behind them, apparently there were some anti-Catholics because the nuns heard in a loud voice one fella say, "I'm thinking about moving down to South Carolina. I heard there's only 5% Catholics down there." The next fella said, "Well, I'm thinking about moving down to Georgia. I heard there's only 2% Catholics down there." Well, the Mother Superior turned around and smiled and said, "Have you guys ever considered hell? There's no Catholics down there." Today I'd like to talk about a very special nun, and that is Blessed Elizabeth of the Holy Trinity. Elizabeth of the Trinity gives us great insight into the devotion and love and adoration we should have to each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. After all, this is our parish feast day. I know many of you have traveled, some of you a long way to be here, including some of our Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist that have come out here from Falls Church. Three of them are here today. And I didn't tell the joke just because of the sisters, but it is great to have them here. And you know, whenever you visit a church on their patronal feast day, you can gain a plenary indulgence, a special blessing from the Lord, which is the remission of all temporal punishment of sin. And of course, the usual conditions have to be met. You have to go to confession within 8 days before or 8 days after the feast day. You go to Mass and communion today. You say prayers for the intentions of the Holy Father. Make a good act of contrition with the firm hatred of all sin and ask the Lord for detachment from all sin, including venial sin, and you may be able to gain a plenary indulgence, which is such a tremendous blessing. So it is our feast day of the Holy Trinity. I wanted to talk about Elizabeth of the Trinity because a lot of people don't realize she's one of our five patron saints of our parish because her relics are in the altar. Now, who are the five saints whose relics are in the altar? And every time we begin Mass and end Mass, we kiss the altar to venerate the relics of the saints. Well, it's easy to remember four of them because their statues are nearby. We have Saint Therese, the Little Flower. Her relics are in the altar. Saint Louis de Montfort. Saint Francis of Assisi in the back. Saint John the Evangelist, that's number four. And then we'll have a stained glass window of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. Now, to look at her life for a few moments, she was born in 1880 in France. She only lived to be 26 years of age. She was a Carmelite nun, very similar to Saint Therese, the Little Flower. In fact, she was a contemporary of Saint Therese, the Little Flower. And as a young girl, Elizabeth lost her dad. She was only 7 years of age. Her temperament as a young girl was very, she had a terrible temper. And her mom would always pray for her. And after her first confession when she was seven, and after her first communion when she was 11, she began to overcome her temper tantrums and was able to experience a profound relationship with Almighty God present within her soul. When she made her first communion in 1891, she truly sensed that she was a dwelling place of Almighty God. And she began more and more, even as a young woman, to experience the presence of the Blessed Trinity within her soul through sanctifying grace. She began to do works of charity. She visited the sick. She sang in the church choir. She taught CCD, you know, religious education to the children who worked in the factories. She had a couple marriage proposals, but she had already given her heart to Christ. And her dream was to enter the Carmelite monastery, which was just a few hundred yards from her home in Dijon, France. So she was able to enter Carmel at age 21. She would only be a nun for 5 years. The sister, Mother Superior, told her to keep her name, Elizabeth, as her name in the convent, because the name Elizabeth meant the house of God. That's a translation for Elizabeth, the house of God. And she had great devotion to the fact that she was the temple of God. So I encourage you to read her writings, to read what she had to say about the Blessed Trinity, how when we are baptized, we receive the Blessed Trinity within our souls through sanctifying grace. And that's what sanctifying grace is. It's the very life of God. It's the very love of God that dwells within us. So we become living tabernacles, living churches, living temples of God. So we're not tabernacles made of gold. We're something even more precious. We're living tabernacles of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we're in the state of grace, if we're baptized, if we're not baptized, we got to get ourselves baptized. So we become temples of God. That's why you don't delay baptisms for babies. You want babies baptized as soon as possible after birth so they can receive this infinite gift of the Blessed Trinity within their soul. So we baptize babies right away after birth. We realize that we are temples of God. And if we're in the state of grace, in sanctifying grace, we have the Blessed Trinity living within our soul. The worst thing in the world is not cancer or arthritis or illness or disease. It is mortal sin. Mortal sin is the worst evil in the world because it kills the life of grace within the soul. See, if we're in the state of grace, we have the Trinity within our soul. If we're in a state of mortal sin, we've driven out the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within our soul. See, the writings of Elizabeth of the Trinity talk about this, how God communicates Himself to us to transform us into Him as His dwelling place, as His temple. And we know when we think about the Blessed Trinity that the Trinity is a community of love. From all eternity, the Father begets the Son. From all eternity, the love between the Father and the Son is so perfect, so intense, it's another person, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. So we believe that God is one. There is only one God, and yet He has revealed to us that He is three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not something we could have figured out on our own. God had to reveal it to us. And in Scripture, there are a couple places where in the New Testament, God reveals to us that He is three persons in one God. He would tell the apostles, go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Name is singular because there is one God. But three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see at the Annunciation, He told our Blessed Mother, a 14 or 16-year-old young girl, that God is one God and yet three persons. The angel Gabriel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High, which is the Father, will overshadow you. And the child to be born will be the Son of God. So Our Lady was the first person ever to have the Trinity revealed to her. And then when we built Holy Trinity Church, we had to decide how to show forth the manifestation of the Trinity. And there was two main choices we could have had. The baptism of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit came down upon Christ in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son, and Christ was baptized in the Jordan River. Or we could have gone with, and we did, the Transfiguration, where we have the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. The bright cloud of God represented by the baldacchino, the Holy Spirit overshadowing, and then Christ in the tabernacle. And then Moses and Elijah complete the transfiguration scene. So we decided to go with the transfiguration to show forth the manifestation, the most beautiful manifestation of the Trinity within the New Testament. So this is our patronal feast day. I encourage you to pray for the Holy Father today, to go to confession within a week before, a week after this Mass, to try to gain the plenary indulgence. And then read the life of Elizabeth of the Trinity. She died at age 26 of a very painful kidney disease. But even on her deathbed, even though she was racked in pain, she was still joyful and filled with peace, because she knew that she had the Trinity within her soul, the indwelling of the Trinity. Her dying words were, "I am going to light, to love, to life." And she reminds us that if we're in the state of grace, we are never alone. A Christian can never be lonely or alone, because we know we have the Trinity within our soul, the Trinity whom we adore within us through sanctifying grace. Elizabeth was beatified on November 25th, 1984 by Pope John Paul II. She's the patron saint of the sick, of the ill, and those who have lost their parents. So what a wonderful saint we honor today. Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. Let us pray for her canonization. And I encourage you to read her writings. Go in the computer, type in her name, and you'll read her life and her writings. And the greatest thing, the gift that she gave to the world, was her writings about how we should really realize this great gift that we have within us, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within our soul.